Well, good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to the Flip Side. Your host, Robbie Noel, with you for 1 hour. Yes, we are at a new time slot. Yeah, it's hard to keep track of us sometimes, but you just got to pay attention and you'll find us. This hour brought to you by the Republic Trading Group. Our toll-free number is 1-800-691-7898. The web address, republictradinggroup.com, updated each and every day at 0-100. The bump music that leads into the song, it's amazing how many requests or emails or telephone calls I get say, what is that song? It's by Mike and the Mechanics, called Silent Running. And the song we leave you with each and every day is by Red Rider, called Lunatic Fringe. Yes, we are a little crazy around here. Well, today is Monday, October the 9th. Quick check of the financial news. Dow ended up 7 points today at 11,857. NASDAQ up 11 at 2,311. No real news out there, financially speaking, outside of Google snapping up YouTube for $1.65 billion. And oil prices settled below $60 a barrel. Well, I guess that's what made Wall Street happy. I wasn't too sure if gold was open in New York City today when I was on Frank Whelan's show this morning, but it was open. It was the Canadian markets that were closed for Columbus Day. And so to give you a, where the market is right now. In Asia, gold is up $4.20 at $577.40. Silver up 17 cents at $11.32. Platinum up $7 at $1,087. Platinum up $2 at $3.04. The U.S. dollar sitting at 86.25. And as we mentioned, crude oil today fell by 12 cents at $59.84. Many people anticipated this morning gold would soar based on, yes, a squib going off in North Korea. You see, let me tell you how sick I am. When I first heard of that story earlier this morning, the first thing that came to my mind was, this was an organized event so that the Republicans could get rid of the Tom Foley scandal from the main headlines. It would give the media something else to talk about. Sorry, that's just the way I felt. Anyway, we got a lot more to come. Stay tuned, my friends. We'll be right back after this.
Headline news. The much-anticipated bird flu pandemic. Whether you consider it dangerous or not makes no difference. It will still be the reason to confine and restrict travel. Conclusion. If we can't feed ourselves locked down at home, Homeland Security will be forced to bring us to gathering centers. Remember Katrina and the Superdome? The World War II bomb shelters in England. And the concentration camps throughout history. They were all huge disease incubators infesting confinees with dozens of life-threatening illnesses. Even if the wimpy little bird flu can't get you, the camps and the immunization will. If the government says store some non-perishable food, you know we'll need a lot. Decide how many years of food your family needs and get it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, bad food plans are life-threatening. Call the co-op at 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overthrown. returned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com, or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
Hey, Rick Adams here. Experience the incredible germ-killing power of oregano P73. It's scientifically proven. If you suffer from allergies, asthma, sinusitis, toenail fungus, athlete's foot, or any other condition, you need the immediate germ-killing power of oregano P73. Oregano P73 is an all-natural substance and even supports the immune system. For more info, call 800-243-5242. 800-243-5242.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Say, should we be concerned about North Korea launching a nuclear strike on the United States? Please, give me a break. at best, these people could most probably, they most probably could strike Japan. Is there something you've got to be afraid about in the land of the free and the home of the brave? It's lettuce, spinach, and yes, hamburger meat. All traces of E. coli. If the President of the United States cannot protect us against dying from contaminated food, you really think he's going to stop someone with bad intentions? Please, give me a break. Why did North Korea set off a squib? Well, it's another failure of U.S. foreign policy. North Korea, on many occasions, has agreed to junk its nuclear weapons program, provided the United States does three things. Not too difficult. One, deal directly with Kim Jong-il, which Washington, by the way, refuses to do because he is, after all, the axis of evil, or part three of the axis of evil. Number two, provide security guarantees that the U.S. will not attack North Korea. I don't think they really have to worry about that. And provide economic aid. But no, the neocons want us to be in a state of perpetual fear. But let's not forget that in 2000, Donald Rumsfeld's firm he was associated with were the ones that supplied North Korea with its nuclear technology. But let's not get into that one. That's far too complicated. Over the weekend, I had to laugh. I laugh a lot lately. I don't take this stuff seriously. I just sit back and watch, and I just am amazed by the idiocy of people in power. James Baker, the venerable James Baker, has a plan to solve the crisis in Iraq. He issued a position paper that says we need to divide Iraq into three autonomous areas, the Kurds, the Sunnis, and the Shiites. I was sitting there and I was going, oh, we want to separate the ethnicities in Iraq. And I said, you know what's funny about that? It is exactly the same policy that was introduced in South Africa in 1948, except we did not call it to separate the factions in Southern Africa. It was given a name. It was called apartheid. See, apartheid is a Dutch word for separateness. But let's not get into that one either, because obviously the world vilified South Africa for separating violent factions of tribal people into different areas so they wouldn't kill each other. But you see, that was a very bad thing. And South Africa had to pay a very heavy price for being so politically incorrect. But let's not get into that. Iraq is a basket case, my friends. U.S. service personnel dying at an amazing rate. But yet, what are we talking about? We're talking about sex scandals in Washington. And don't think the Republicans have the moral high ground on this. Unfortunately, the Republican Party has completely eviscerated anything associated with the term conservatives. They have completely destroyed the name of conservative. Now what we are dealing with is we are dealing with a bunch of politicians completely out of control. These are people that last week, as we have said many times before, passed legislation the president's going to sign this week that completely destroys the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. People say, oh, you're making too much out of this. No, I'm not. Not in any way, shape, or form am I making too much of this. It's just simply, as I've said many times before, I've seen it all play out in real life. And I can see where we're going and where we're going to end up. Now, these very same politicians who signed that legislation, by the way, it's no different than the Patriot Act, because none of the 435 members of Congress or the 100 in the Senate even read this piece of legislation. They just voted for it. They have no clue what's in it. I hope it comes back to haunt some individual members. But, you know, there's a real serious problem in Washington. Congress has passed numerous pieces of legislation that forces companies and institutions around America to drug test their employees. Now, the theory behind drug testing is we need to preserve the integrity of these institutions. For instance, airline pilots need to have drug tests. Why? Well, we don't want to get in an airplane thinking that, is the guy flying the plane on the juice or not? Is he taking supplements to keep him awake? We want to know this. So they introduced, because we have to preserve the integrity of the airline industry. It was no different to a couple of months ago when there was a doping scandal in the bicycle race in France. The Bicycle Association said we have to preserve the integrity of the sport, which is the reason why every athlete has to be tested. But yet, here we have politicians who make life and death decisions with the legislation they pass. My question is, why aren't we drug testing politicians? After all, there's an epidemic going on in Washington, D.C. Every time a politician is busted for something, the immediate thing he does is admit he's been abusing alcohol or drugs and immediately runs off to a rehab center. Makes you think about Betty Ford. Oh, there's a connection there somewhere. I haven't figured it out yet, but I think there is. I did a little investigation today to see whether Congress had actually ever came up with the idea that members of the House of Representatives and their staff are subject to any drug testing. After all, think about what they do on a daily basis. This makes perfectly logical sense to me. In order to protect the integrity of the legislation that they pass, isn't it logic to assume that we'd like to know that these people aren't whacked out on some psychotropic drug? 1998 was the last time anybody tried to introduce drug testing of members of the House of Representatives. It died in committee. I mean, think about this. You got Patrick Kennedy thinking he was going to vote at 2 o'clock in the morning, ran into a barrier in Washington, D.C. All of a sudden, they drive him home. If it was you and I, we'd be in the big house. But he immediately announced he had a disease and he was going into rehab. Tom Foley. And there's one or two stories about staggering around outside the Page's dorm under the influence. But outside of that, nobody else thought he was lush. But apparently he was lush. I have a problem. I'm going to drug rehab for 30 days. Just convenient, the 30 days ends after the election. So we ain't going to hear from him about his alcohol problem. Spokesman for the Republican Party, the Grand Poobah of Talk Radio, Rush Limbaugh, we find out has been sucking on OxyContin for decades. Most probably still on it. Don't think he's off it in any way, shape, or form. And this was a man that was calling for drug dealers and drug pushers to do serious time. We do live in a crazy world. And then today we get another story. A kid, I don't know where, I think it was in Illinois, walked into a school with an AK-47. Screaming to the officials at the school, "Don't make me do it." Firing a few shots into the ceiling. Thankfully, overpowered, and the situation is solved. But there's a pattern. This pattern has been going on since Columbine. This is something that we've been speaking about for a decade. Psychotropic drugs that are given to kids in high school. Is there any wonder these kids are going nuts? If we can't solve the problem of kids going nuts in schools, we ain't going to solve any other problems. I got a solution. I can solve, not only can I solve the violence in school, but I can also solve the problem why Johnny is so dumb and fat. But you see, nobody wants to address those issues. It's like many issues out there. Nobody wants to deal with reality. The way you solve school violence issue is you abolish the Department of Education. You take government out of the school system. Ever since the government's been involved with the school system, that's what you've got. Feeding kids kiddie cocaine, otherwise known as Ritalin. Lack of discipline. Because of the adoption of the liberal policies of spare the rod, spoil the child. And what do you end up? You end up with generations of mushheads. It's very simple to solve the education crisis. As I said, first of all, you abolish the Department of Education. You return the controlling element of schools to the local localities. You abolish the whole curriculum that this whole language theory that they have, where you're teaching kids to read and write, showing them pictures and words, so they associate pictures and words. But if you show a kid a word without a picture, he doesn't know what it is because he hasn't learned ABCs. You scrap this co-ed thing. You put boys in boys' schools. You put girls in girls' schools. You put them in uniforms so there's no peer pressure about which kid has got the better clothes. And you bring back corporal punishment.
What do you mean? Spank the little mushheads?
Yes. Yes. People don't understand. That's how you earn respect. That's how you learn to be a responsible human being. Tough love. But you see, we've adopted this philosophy of cultural Marxism, political correctness. Another word for it, I prefer cultural Marxism. Oh, we don't want to do that. See, if you can't solve the school problem, you ain't going to solve any other problem. It's the most basic. And why parents aren't up in arms about this, I'll never know. And so why people are in denial about this whole thing, you're going to have kids walking in schools with AK-47s. Teachers are too afraid to chastise little Johnny. So little Johnny will report them. Parents are too afraid to discipline their kids because liberal teachers within the school system say, you know, if your parents raise a hand to you, you come back and tell us. I got friends of mine whose kids are out of control. I say to them, how about a little corporal punishment? How about pulling out the belt every once in a while? Slap some sanity into them. Oh, no, we can't do that. We do that. Next day, we got a knock on the door, and there's some government agency out there, and they don't care. They won't take your word for it against your kids. They'll take your kids' word against you. And so we end up in the mess we are today. Sex scandals in Washington, lack of morals. This is what makes me laugh about these so-called Republicans that stand up on the moral high ground. They have no moral high ground to stand on. These people are completely immoral. They have no concept whatsoever. And what do they do? How do they solve these problems? Well, we haven't spent enough money on it. And when we want to get into a political debate, we end up with the, for instance, the debate on Friday evening with the people who are seeking to become governor of the great state of Texas. You had Kinky Friedman, you had Perry, current governor, you had a Democrat, and you had some woman whose only words were, I'm going to tell the Texas people the truth. Almost choked laughing on that one. Please. Politician telling the truth. These people don't even look at their own polling numbers. American people, by and large, 27% of them think Congress is doing a good job. Which means there's 3/4 of the population that think they suck. Well, we're going to debate the issues. We're going to have a debate. Well, what are the rules for the debate? Well, you have 1 minute to offer your opinion, and there's a 30-second rebuttal. Oh, so you mean I got to explain the meaning of life in less than 60 seconds? Because all you ended up with that debate were sound bites. Pure and simple. Unfortunately for Kinky, he was limited to his standard one-line sound bites. But that's all the time they give you in these debates. There's no debate on any of the issues. There's no in-depth understanding of what faces the citizens of Texas in any way, shape, or form. You've got a minute to tell them what you're going to do. Oh, yeah, that's really going to make a lot of sense. It's nuts. It's completely nuts. Is it any wonder Perry doesn't want any more debates? I actually agree with it. Debates are worthless. Unless you're going to have a serious debate about the issues where there's no time restraints on the person's answers or questions. And oh, they run a tight ship, man. If your response to a question is more than 30 seconds, they just cut you off. Next question. And you have all these journalists, these deep-thinking journalists, asking politicians the questions. They ask the stupidest questions I've ever... Where did these people get their education from? I don't know. I don't know. We sure are. We are living that Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times. I agree with that 100%. Not only are we living in interesting times, but we're dealing with a lot of really stupid people. Look, there's only one explanation. Either they're really stupid or they're really evil. Take your pick. Was there any mention in any way, shape, or form of the legislation the president's going to sign, H.R. 666, exactly 6166, but I prefer to call it H.R. 666. The evisceration of the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, First Amendment. Because the president wants to make you safer. How's he going to make you safer? Well, the president's going to dictate who is an enemy combatant. And don't think it's just aliens, please, give me a break. It's everybody. You, go look in the mirror. It's you he's talking about. Fifth generation American. If the president dictates that you are an enemy combatant, jackbooted thugs can kick in your door, drag you out, throw you in a dark dang cell, and no one will ever hear of you again. In the land of the free? In a country called America? Acting like SS Gestapo officers? Like the Stasi? Like the KGB? It's not going to be too long before the events that happened in Russia this weekend happen here in the United States. Journalist speaking out against Vladimir Putin. Gets into an elevator and someone pumps four bullets into her. Oh yeah. Think I'm exaggerating about this? Stand by, my friends. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Headline News. Activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The Council to Get Some Food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm. Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
Are you experiencing memory loss, mood swings, slowed reflexes? Well, North American Herb and Spices NeuroLoft helps make your mind and nerves work better. The powerful herbs and spices in NeuroLoft naturally support the function of the brain and nervous system. To maximize your mental clarity and productivity, call 800-243-5242 and try NeuroLoft today.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
It's amazing how history repeats itself, isn't it? Let's go to the phones. We've got Mark in Florida. Hey, Mark.
I think that so often. It is amazing. And if we don't learn from history, it is going to repeat itself.
Oh, sure. It's repeating itself right before our very eyes.
We need a revolution to be repeated, to be honest.
Yes, yes, yes.
But I was calling on your commentary last segment. It's very interesting to me. I'm 20 years old, and you know, to be honest with you, I grew up thinking that I was a little brat, and my parents wanted to hit me, that I always threatened them. You know, I would always say, you know, I'll call Child Protection Services or whatever.
Sure.
And I got the belt a couple of times, and I wasn't the type of child that actually, you know, did call. And I don't know how people, children, can do that in the first place. But yeah, something came to mind when you were talking about that, and I also, when I was threatening my parents with the IRS, or not the IRS, but the Children's Services, I was also reading George Orwell, 1984, and the comparison of, you know, I don't know if you remember, but the children in the book were the ones to watch out for, he talked about, and that they were the ones that would turn you in or whatever.
Sure.
Well, that came to mind when you mentioned that, and I always grew up, you know, I'm open to a lot of different thoughts, and I was wondering why politically correctness is not good, or I don't know, I kind of don't understand what your views are on that, and I wonder if you could elaborate more for me on politically correctness, because I think it is good. I just think we're moving to this non-religion and this bias, but it's really just the one world government or the new world order. But I don't know why, at the same time, I grew up in a very cultured, diverse place in Miami, Florida, and I don't see why politically correctness is a bad thing, you know?
Well, political correctness had its origins in Soviet Union. It was a plan that was instituted decades ago in order to defeat the West. And the plan was to make people feel guilty about their past in order to change their future. And political correctness is movement over the years is what we are dealing with today on many levels. And so when you look at cultural Marxism, it is the defender of victims. Anybody who claims they are a victim, irrespective of what it is, if you're a victim of your lot in life, you haven't achieved everything that you think you should have achieved, it's not your fault. It is because of an oppressor. In other words, you have been held down. And that oppressor obviously always has, unfortunately, a white face. And because the Soviets knew that in order to destroy America, they couldn't attack America. I mean, this is, Khrushchev even said this, as he was banging his shoe at the United Nations, saying, we will destroy you, not from outside, but we will destroy you inside. And how political correctness is devised is to break down all your moral values. In other words, to make you, if you're a white Caucasian, to make you feel guilty for who you are. And that the reason why blacks have never achieved anything in life is because of white oppression.
Well,
the reason why women have never achieved anything in life is because of arrogant white males.
Yeah.
So, in other words, everybody is a victim except for one class of people.
Right.
And that's a class of people that the Soviets identified and sought to destroy by adopting this philosophy of cultural Marxism.
So we're just all Americans, I think, is the bottom line in what you're saying. And we don't, and to think that we're responsible for one, you know, diverse part of America, and like the whites are responsible for blacks, not, you know, I mean, there, you got to admit, though, there are blacks, and they are the poorest in our country. I think that's, I mean, I don't know if I'm mistaken on that, but that's always an assumption I've had, is that the blacks are, you know, they're in the ghettos, and I don't know if it's because
of
white oppression.
But you have to ask your question, you have to ask yourself the question why. Because there are blacks in America that are exceedingly wealthy. Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods,
Oprah.
You know, how come they have achieved success in their lives? How come they have achieved everything that apparently we as Anglos have suppressed?
Right.
And it's no different, no matter what culture you go to. It is the adoption of this philosophy that ultimately is going to destroy us. You know, here in Arizona, at Arizona State University, there's a group of kids that want to set up a Caucasian group. At every university, you have Hispanic groups, you have black groups. But as soon as these kids wanted to establish a Caucasian group, they have been vilified by every organization under the sun as being white supremacist.
Well,
but why can't we have, for instance, why can't we have white Academy Awards? I think it is tonight or tomorrow night. There's the Black Academy Awards.
Well, I think that's racism right there.
Why?
Because if the blacks can have an award just for the blacks, that's segregation in a way. It's segregation.
Well, sure. Oh, okay. I took you the wrong way on that.
Right.
If different cultures can celebrate their heritage, we have Gay Month, we have Black History Month, we have Gay Month, we have NAMBLA Month, we have all these months of the year that are set aside to talk about the culture of their particular ethnicity, but you better not have a white month or a white heritage month or a Caucasian heritage month. So you can't have that. But you can have every other one under the sun.
Yeah.
Double standards. Sorry, you were breaking up on me there.
What about a Constitution month?
Well, September the 18th, you have one day to celebrate the Constitution, and apparently that's one day a year that they allegedly teach kids about the Constitution in the government school system.
Right. Well, I don't remember learning about that in school.
Well, sure. And let me tell you something. There was an educator, I've forgotten his name, so I can't give him credit. I'm just simply going to paraphrase. That if you do not teach kids the Constitution and America's history, warts and all, if they don't learn it, they cannot defend it. Which is the reason why a large majority of American youth today have no concept of America's founding, of what the founding fathers thought about. Let me ask you a typical question.
Yes, sir. I'll do my
best. We all heard the phrase, all men are created equal.
Yes, Thomas Jefferson.
Exactly. What does it mean?
Well, it's funny. I take American history. I'm in college, and we've talked about that today in lecture, and all men are created equal. Wasn't the same for the slaves at the time. I mean, Thomas Jefferson freed 5 slaves, which was his mistress and her children. But even at his deathbed, when many planters at the time were, even at their deathbed, making the moral decision to let go of their slaves, Jefferson kept them and I guess gave them to his children or whatever. But all men are not created equal. Because women at that time weren't equals, and
no.
All white men are created equal at that time is what that meant. And
Let me tell you what the facts are.
Okay.
And the whole line: we hold these truths to be self-evident. Do you understand what that means?
Right.
We hold these truths to be self-evident means that there's no question what we are just about to say. What we are just about to say is not even questionable, that all men are created equal. When Jefferson wrote that, he was not talking about ethnicity in any way, shape, or form. He wasn't talking about women. He wasn't talking about men. He wasn't talking about black. He wasn't talking about white. What that statement meant that anybody born in America does not have any titles of nobility. In other words, there are no kings. We are all equal. Nobody is greater than you are just because of his blood or his birthright. That's what they were escaping. That was the crux of the reason the pilgrims came to America, to escape the tyranny of the monarchy. It had nothing to do with race, had nothing to do with ethnicity. Had everything to do about we are all equal. Nobody is a king in the land of the free and the home of the brave.
I see what you're saying, but what are we going to do when our president is above equal?
Well, he is.
That's the danger.
Oh, sure. He thinks he is King George.
He's a dictator under the Constitution, in my opinion. I mean, Alex Jones presented it very, matter-of-factly in his Terror Storm documentary. which everyone can see for free, and in it he says that the president, you know, the Congress didn't declare war, the president did, and that's against our Constitution.
Well, certainly.
And, I mean,
Congress
he's obviously
is
not
Congress is
people.
Congress is the only body that can declare war, but we never declared war. That's why I always find it amusing when the president says we're at war, because Congress never declared war.
Yeah.
Congress gave him the authority to use military action against, quote-unquote, the terrorists. But we never declared war. America hasn't declared war since World War II. That was the last time Congress gave its approval to go to war. Korea was a police action. Vietnam was a scam. And all the other conflicts America has got involved in, Congress never gave its approval to fight a war. I'm impressed hearing from you for 20 years old. There is a light on the hill there somewhere.
I wish I grew up in your lifetime.
Well, it's interesting, that's for sure. But it took me 30 years to figure it out, though.
Well, I'm
fortunately for you, it hasn't taken you that long.
No. I'm still not figured out. I mean, RBN helps me a little bit, and Alex Jones and all that. But you know, I still don't know. And I'm Jewish. My family is Jewish, and I don't agree with Zionism, but at the same time, I'm like, I get a little confused when people talk about the elite Jews and controlling the Federal Reserve, and I just don't see the people. And I've also heard on your station that Bush is a Jew, but I don't know. People look at me like I'm crazy when I talk about things like that, but I see some truth in some of it.
Bush is not a Jew.
Well, that's what they're saying. I mean, some callers on your station call up and they say his true name is Baruch, and he's one of those, I don't know, I think they got a term for it, but it's somebody who is very
influenced by Jews within who he associates. Nathan Sharansky, for instance, is his mentor and his advisor. You see, what you've got to, Mark, I wish I had 3 hours for this show, but I don't. I've only got 10 minutes left.
I listen every night. Keep doing what you're doing, and you're the true patriot, sir. And we just need more people like you in our media, not the fake media we have, anyways.
And I wish we had more 20-year-olds like you, brother.
Yeah,
thanks, Mark. I appreciate it, man. Let's go to Henry in Connecticut. Hey, Henry.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hi. Yeah, about that caller just before me, he's like kind of he's kind of like a younger brother to me. I'm in my 30s, he's 20 something. He said he grew up in Miami. Well, actually, I'd like to even ask you or him. I don't see what that diversity stuff that they push in this country has ever done anything for this country, except more or less turn it to a piece of crap. I mean, I'll give an example. Take Queens, New York. I used to live in Queens, New York. Okay, Queens County, New York, just behind Brooklyn.
Right. Yep.
I don't know if you've been there recently or if you have ever been there. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I can think of other places. As far as Miami goes, everything, I've talked to people who have been there, and everything in there is in Spanish.
Sure.
It's like it's just been invaded by both the Cuban people that ran from Castro, who were Hispanic, whether they were mostly
Hispanic. Castro emptied the jails of the Cuban boat lift, that's where the majority of Cubans in.
That's true. You also have a Haitian population down there too, and there's some crime,
sure,
and some stuff down there. Because you know what it is, we're run by these idiots, Rothschild and them, and what they want to do is they want to destroy the country in both ways. They want to mongrelize it, of course, all those third world cultures and stuff flooding in here. And again, the people equate what we got immigration-wise with the same as the civil rights movement with the blacks. I think it is a little different because at least with them, those ones that were here, it was unfortunate what the situation with them. And, of course, that was done back then in the 1700s, too, to destroy the country in one way or another and just using them in the middle. But at least they were kind of citizens who wanted to assimilate in America. But we didn't have to have an October 3rd, 1965 Immigration Reform Act that says only 10 or 12% can come from Europe, and or 15% can come from Europe, and the other 85% must be from third world countries for this ideal of diversity.
Well, sure. That's part and parcel of the philosophy of multiculturalism, which is a cornerstone in cultural Marxism.
Yeah.
In other words, getting people to believe that, that different people of ethnicities and race and cultures can intermingle. Yes, they can intermingle. Don't get me wrong in that. But they have to have a core, simple route in which they've got to adopt.
Well, not only
in
that.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I want to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, it's the assimilation. If America invites you into their country,
right?
Or don't even take America, any country on the face of the earth. If a country gives you the right to live and enjoy the benefits of that country, you need to assimilate to, just out of respect.
Yeah, but
you need to assimilate to that culture and that and that way of life.
Yes, you're right. But the other thing is that we're run by these sickos who are very old. They're like 80, 90 years old, 70 or whatever. They think, number one, that America should have this, instead of America, see, America should be, to me, about the Constitution and making money for its own people. Not all this crap about growth for humanity, being a better people, being a moral society, I mean, more moral, let's say, than Denmark or Sweden or Switzerland, I mean, sexually and otherwise. All across the board, I'm not just talking one area. But you got these religious idiots. I mean, William Cooper read their literature, and it's not just, you know, trying to make people think it's just money with these people. It's not, because they're printing money out of thin air anyway. You sell real money. I mean, you have money, real money. But, I mean, these guys, the paper stuff is crap. And it's all around growth and behavior and being better people, as well as they have to be controlled. It's all idealistic and religious. But I'll say this before I go. The when you look at L.A., when you look at Miami, Queens, New York. Anytime there's areas that change to something like that, where it's mostly Hispanic or third world or whatever. And another thing, too, I want to interject this. That the people who want this, they want to do it two ways. One, they want to kill the American working class and lower their wages so they can get them to struggle more and all this crap about struggle. And then they want to try to bring these other people in to sort of mongrelize the population as well as have this global society. But getting to people like places like Queens or Miami or even L.A. the way it is now, every place where that stuff has happened, where you had that and it's just struggling, and even if not struggling, you have all that diversity junk. I experienced it myself from coming, you know, in an area that changed like that and moved. The people move away. They either move away. They want to move away. It also makes the schools, the public school system, you know, it's not just the communists or this and that with the public school system. It's the psychiatric stuff with Richard Gardner and all that stuff to doping up our kids that they used to not do in Europe, okay? Everything here is self-esteem and feelings. I'm just sick of this. But every place where that has happened, eventually the people just move away. So if it's so great and it's so wonderful to grow and evolve and have a new root race and humanity to grow and mature, to live as one and all this spiritual and all this other stuff that's worth filth, you know, I mean, I'm talking about concept. Now, the concept is filth. I mean, all those ideals, period, in this country has been pushed from freaking 80 years now already or more, from 1913 on or before. You know, if it's so great, how come every time I turn around, the people always rebel against it? They always move away. They don't want it. They eventually move or something. I mean, you know, anybody out there, you know, answer that question. So, okay, I'm leaving. Got to go.
All right, bro. All right.
Nice talking to you. Bye.
Absolutely. Look, cultural Marxism, political correctness, by its very definition, it shuts down debate. In other words, it shuts down people who want to talk about serious issues. See, because you can't talk about race in America without being called a racist. You cannot talk about Jews without being anti-Semite. It's all designed to shut you down. This piece of legislation, H.R. 666, is by its very nature designed to shut down any opposition to official government policy. Because if you step out of line and you start talking out about official government policy that differs from the dictates from Washington, D.C. The president has the right to declare you an enemy combatant. It is a reason why when you go to London, I haven't been to London in a while, but even when I was there 10 years ago, in the heart of London, there is a hodgepodge of different ethnicities. The English people who used to live in London no longer live there. They've moved out. You look at any big city in America. Take Detroit. People, because of political correctness, and rather than speak out, they moved out of the cities to where cities are becoming ghettos. There are places in Los Angeles that if you take a wrong turn off the 405 freeway, you'll end up in a neighborhood where you'll end up dead. So it's this whole concept that people just don't understand how dangerous this thing is. And you're witnessing it. We practice apartheid in America all the time. It is where people will move to different areas to associate with people of like-minded ideals. Are they being racist? No. It's just that it is very hard to absorb this thing called multiculturalism because of the fact that foreigners come in and do not assimilate to the American way. They come to America to harvest all the benefits, but they do not in any way, shape, or form want to adopt the American way. There's a lot of Nigerians in America who think that slaughtering cows on their front porch is an okay thing to do, because they did it back home. That's nuts. Anyway, I was going to talk about gold, but we'll have to leave that till tomorrow. Till then, my friends, see you, bye.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.